We are happy to be together again on this Lord's Day evening to worship our great God, to sing his praise. We'll be using tonight the favorite hymns, and we'll sing number 23. Favorite hymns, number 23. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Hymn number 23, favorite hymns. Give us all we need, and most of all, you've given us salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that salvation has made us your children and brothers and sisters, one with another. And we thank you for the good things of the gospel and all that you've done in saving us. And we pray that tonight you might give us hearts to praise you and to thank you and to know more of your goodness to us through your word and by the presence and ministry of your Holy Spirit among us. Show Christ to us again, we ask. Lift our hearts to him, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Our theme this morning from Galatians chapter 1 was the grace that is in the gospel, that the salvation God gives us is free, and we come to Jesus by faith, and he gives us his salvation. We'll sing some hymns about that tonight, and the first is 243, still from the favorites. Favorite hymns 243, Rock of Ages, and Jesus Christ is the Rock of Ages. And if you'll notice with me, stanza 2, which is very much in line with what we saw from Galatians this morning. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Not our labors, not our zeal, not our tears, nothing that we could do, nothing we can feel. It's all what Jesus does, and that's the gospel. 243, Rock of Ages. Solid rock. Jesus is our solid rock, the rock of ages, and our hope is in him. 310. And notice verse 1, which says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The sweetest frame is a reference to the way we feel. And we don't trust the way we feel. We trust in Jesus. And it's not that we are trusting the fact that we were sorry enough for our sins or happy enough for Jesus to save us. It's not about us when it comes to salvation. It's, again, Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's from whence our salvation comes. And that's why it's all of grace. And that's why it's given to those who believe. 310, the solid rock.
Thank you.
Jesus is the rock. We read from God's word tonight, and the prophet Isaiah once again, and this time chapter 52. Isaiah 52, and you'll find it on page 652 in the Pew Bible. Actually, it begins at 651, page 651 in the Pew Bible, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52. We will read verses, that's the sermon. Okay. Get ahead of myself. Not Isaiah, Titus. Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. And that, in the Pew Bible, is on page 1059 in the Pew Bible, Titus, chapter 2. Now this morning from Galatians, we made it very clear that the gospel teaches us that salvation is not of works. Nothing you can do can earn you a place in heaven. Nothing you can do can save you from your sins. That's because Jesus did everything for you. And our works count for nothing towards salvation. Well, where do works come in? What about good works? Well, good works are the Christian's way of showing his gratitude to God for what God has done for him and saving him. Good works are the way in which we bring glory to Jesus. Good works are the way we help one another in the church. Good works have their place in the Christian's life, but only after we've first been saved. Works don't save us, but after we've been saved, we do good works. And I think that combination is found here in Titus. Salvation is by grace, but once we're saved by grace, we go on to perform good works to God's glory, the honor of Christ, and the good of his people. We'll begin then at chapter 2 of Titus in verse 11, reading through chapter 3 and verse 8. And you'll see how the grace that brings salvation further leads to good works once we've been saved. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once also foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So especially as we come to the end of this passage, and the end of verse 8, where it says, those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Faith comes first, and good works follow. May it be our delight then, having been saved through faith in Jesus, to do those good works that will bring glory to God and pleasure to our Savior and benefit to his people and the world. Let us go together then in prayer. Let us pray. How thankful we are, gracious God, for the gospel that you have given us, the good news of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. And we thank you because we know that no amount of self-effort could ever bring us salvation. Nothing could take away our sins but the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for being so gracious to sinners. Thank you for making this salvation available and for in Christ saving all who come to you by him. We thank you that there is a way then for men to be saved. And we pray that many, even in our day and in our neighborhoods and in this village of Hicksville and even in this congregation, may there be many who will take hold of Jesus for that salvation that they need, that salvation he is ready to give them when they come to him by faith. And then we who know Christ, we who have been saved, may we be very zealous to do good works, not at all to gain your approval, not at all to gain any favor, but to thank you for your grace and to bring glory to you in this world and to show men and women, boys and girls, that Jesus is good and he is a wonderful Savior. And so we pray then that you might help us all to be zealous for good works, do good through us and among us, that Christ might be seen. And we pray that by your Spirit we might have the very fruit that leads to Jesus being demonstrated and seen among us. Thank you for bringing us together tonight. We pray that you will lift every burden, and we pray that you will draw every heart to Jesus. And we thank you that we can go on day by day and week by week, knowing your very presence and your help. And may it be the same this week. May we know your help and your presence and your grace at every turn. And would you strengthen us then to be all that you would have us to be in this world. We give you thanks tonight, even as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, our next hymn will be from the Trinity Hymnal, 441, Trinity Hymnal 441. Again, picking up on the theme of the morning. It's not our works, but Christ's. Thy works, not mine, O Christ. Speak gladness to this heart. His works, his pains, his cross, his righteousness. 441 in the Trinity Hymnal. Thank you. once more tonight, and we'll go to the Christian hymns, the little maroon Christian hymns. Sing a song about trusting Jesus. Some of you will recognize the tune from one that we sang at Easter time. But Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. Christian hymns 550. Number 651, page 651 in the Pew Bible. Before I read, one more reminder that we do have new church calendars for you. You can get one at the back table if you don't have one already. Church calendars at the back table. Now, Isaiah 52, reading verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of God. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord. And my name is blasphemed continually every day. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. May God bless the word to us tonight. And let us pray to that end. We are thankful, gracious Father, to be gathered together again around your word. And we pray for the ministry of your Holy Spirit once more. Without him, we cannot understand fully. We cannot apply as we should. But we pray that your Spirit would show us Jesus again. Draw us to him, that we might love him more and serve him better. And for this, we'll thank you as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text this evening is verse 7 of Isaiah 52. Verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. What we have in this text is a repetition of a theme that we have been looking at from Galatians. That theme is the gospel. The gospel is good news. And we find that phrase here in these words in the beginning of verse 7, him who brings good news. There are glad tidings of good things. It's the gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel is glad tidings. And what we find in the New Testament spelled out so clearly after Jesus has come is found in the Old Testament when they looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Everything that we read about from Matthew to Revelation is to be found in Genesis through Malachi. And here we have mention of the gospel. Now the historical situation for this was precisely the regathering of the people of God from the captivity that they were under in Babylon. They had been made captives in Babylon for their sins, their idolatry and their immorality. But now God was going to reverse that captivity and bring them back into their land. And that was the good news. And all through the passage that we read, that was the theme. Zion will be redeemed. Jerusalem will be redeemed. And they will throw off their captivity and they will come back to their land. That's the good news that the prophet was sent to tell them. But it's interesting that this proclamation of good news comes just before chapter 53, which is all about the suffering servant. Chapter 53 is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that our sins might be put away. It's about the good news of our salvation that Jesus brings. Chapter 53 and verse 6, for instance, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So before we get to chapter 53 with its very graphic description of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, we have a reference to good news, to gospel, in chapter 52. And we will see as we look at verse 7 that this goes way beyond the historical setting of the regathering of Israel from Babylon back to its own land. It has to do with the greater good news, the gospel of our salvation. Good news. And of course, what Christ has done for us is good news. The fact that our sins have been put away because our sins were laid on Jesus. And when we put our faith in Christ, we are pardoned forever. That is good news. Well, I want to look with you at the gospel in this setting tonight, verse 7 of chapter 52. And I want to look at the content of the gospel, first of all, and then the communication of the gospel. But what is the content of it? Well, look what we read here in verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. What is the good news about? Well, first of all, it's about peace. He proclaims peace. That's the first thing. You might recall what we read there in Galatians chapter 1. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace is God taking care of all those necessities created by our sins. Grace is God coming to us freely to save us in Jesus. And peace is the result. Peace is that right standing with God. Whereas once we were at enmity with God, now grace has come and not only freed us from sin, but brought us back together with God. That is peace. And just as there was to be peace for these Jewish people, as they would come from the land of captivity back to their own land, there would be peace, there would be well-being. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel is about, giving us grace and peace. And what we can tell to people is that the real peace that they need is not the peace that comes through disarmament or through negotiations. It's the real peace that comes not through defending ourselves militarily. The best peace is the peace that comes between the sinner and God when we're joined together in Christ and there's no longer anything to separate us because our sins have been put away. That is peace. That's the first thing. And then there's a general reference to good. Again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things. The word good is everywhere. Everything that God gives us by way of the gospel is good. And it's only good. We can start with our pardon for sin. Then we can talk about the peace that comes to us. Then we can talk about our adoption as sons. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We have a future. We have a family that we live with together, brothers and sisters in Jesus that care for one another and pray for each other. We have a home in heaven forever. We have God looking after us day by day and strengthening us when we're weak. We have things to do for him that make our lives worthwhile. Everything good comes from the gospel. Glad tidings of good things. But then notice the next word, the word salvation. He proclaims peace, he brings good tidings of good things, he proclaims salvation. And salvation is a word that's repeated in Isaiah over and over. Salvation and righteousness salvation that comes to us by God's grace, salvation that is the putting away of our sins and the giving to us of the righteousness of Jesus to cover us. Salvation, there it is. Not only being saved from the enemies that oppress them in Babylon, but we're saved from the greatest oppression of all, which is sin and the devil, and we're saved forever. Salvation. And there's a hint of this way back in chapter 40, which begins this great section of Isaiah, chapter 40, in the very opening phrase, speaks of peace and salvation, because sin has been put away. Chapter 40, verse 1, comfort, yes, comfort thy people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Her iniquity is pardoned. So even there, as early as Isaiah chapter 40, we find that the salvation that God gives, even for these people in that day, goes way beyond mere deliverance from captivity. And it includes pardon for sin. And we have to reflect on that, and we have to underscore that. What God did for these people was much more than material prosperity. It was much more than deliverance from captivity. It was forgiveness of sins. It was eternal pardon. The very things that you and I enjoy in Christ. And that's what they're given. Pardon for sin. Salvation. That includes that eternal pardon. Then we find something interesting here at the end of verse 7. Not only is there peace and goodness and salvation, but there's a statement about God reigning. He says to Zion, your God reigns. God reigns. God rules. God is sovereign. God is in control. What does this have to do with everything else that's been said? The good news of peace and salvation. God reigns. That's important because we have here a reversal of the situation. Remember reading in verse 4, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there, then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Oppressed people. It says in verse 5, my people are taken away. Those who rule over them make them wail. These people were ruled over by foreigners. These people were ruled over by those who hated them. Whether it be the Egyptians or the Assyrians or the Babylonians, they were conquered people. But there's a reversal now of their condition. They're being brought back from captivity. Why? Because God reigns. And God reigns over the nations. And God can free from oppression. God reigns. And that's good news. And it's good news for you and me, even today, to know that God reigns. And in the midst of all the chaos that we see in this world today, God is ruling, and God is bringing about his purposes to pass even in this world. But think about this reversal of condition, because God reigns. They were oppressed, now they're freed from oppression. They were captive, now they're brought back to their land. And that's exactly the way it was with you and me. We were held captive by sin. We were under the domain of Satan. We were in the kingdom of Satan before Jesus set us free. And we have a freedom, we have a reversal of condition that's even greater than people being brought from the captivity of Babylon back to their homeland. We then are released from sin and Satan and death because we're in God's kingdom now. God reigns. And God reigns over his people. And what happens when we come to Jesus by faith to save us? Jesus then becomes our ruler, our benevolent dictator. And we willingly submit to him as our Lord. We're glad to serve him. We're glad to do the things that he bids us do. Because he's such a great, such a wonderful Savior. God reigns. And that's part of the good news then. And you and I are freed from captivity as well, captivity to Satan. And that's why in verse 9 it says, break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Redemption. Redeemed from the enemy. Set free. Because God reigns. So here's the content of the gospel then. There's peace between the sinner and God. Jesus makes peace. There's everything good. God bestows blessings on those who have come to Jesus. There is salvation in its fullest sense. And because God reigns, you are freed from the devil's grip. You are freed from bondage to sin. We are redeemed, totally redeemed, because God reigns. So that's the content of the gospel. And it's wonderful to see these words that we're so familiar with in the New Testament, right in the middle of the Old. Good news, good tidings, gospel, peace, and salvation. Just before that great chapter 53, where we see the Lord Jesus Christ dying for our sins, because it's his death described in chapter 53. That makes the good news. Well, we come then to the communication of this good news. Notice how he begins this verse. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Beautiful feet. When you think about people, you don't usually think of feet as that part of a person that you might consider to be beautiful. You think usually of beauty in other places. But here it is the feet that is beautiful. And even though these feet are climbing mountains and either in those days sandals or even bare feet would be so dirty and so calloused and so bruised and worn, and yet they're beautiful feet because of what they do. You think of that phrase, that beauty is as beauty does, and how true it is. Beautiful feet because they bring good news. And here we find that the gospel must be communicated. There is a gospel. There is good news. There is peace between man and God when we get hold of Jesus the Savior. There is salvation. There is redemption. There is freedom from sin and Satan. But that good news must be proclaimed. It must be communicated. And that's what this verse is about, communicating the good news. And in those days, when there was a message, an important message, a runner would be sent. And somebody would be on the top of a city, on the wall, looking to see if a messenger was coming. And they would see the runner, and they would know a messenger was coming. And how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. He runs with this good news of salvation, that people might be encouraged to hear it, the beautiful feet. But notice there are five indications that the gospel must be communicated. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. The good news must be brought. Who proclaims peace. Peace must be proclaimed. Who brings glad tidings of good things? Glad tidings must be brought. Who proclaims salvation? Salvation must be proclaimed. Who says to Zion, your God reigns? The truth of God reigning must be told. Five times a reference to communication. The gospel must be communicated. Bring good news. Proclaim peace. Bring glad tidings. Proclaim salvation, and say, your God reigns. Now what we find in the New Testament is this. Christians are given the wonderful privilege of communicating the gospel. And as we've said on other occasions, that's our main purpose for being here. That's our main purpose for being in this world as Christians. Besides everything else we do, taking care of our families, and encouraging one another, and worshiping God together, one of our main reasons for being in this world is to communicate the gospel. And some do it by proclamation. Twice the word proclaim is used. There are those who are called to the preaching ministry, to the public proclamation. But everybody else communicates the gospel in different ways. They bring the good news. They bring the glad tidings. They say, they simply tell it. Your God reigns. And you as believers, you as those who trust in Jesus, have opportunities day in and day out. People you meet, people you know, in your families, in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, to communicate good news. Now you often hear people say, I don't watch the news anymore. It's full of everything bad. I don't watch the news on television. Or I don't read a newspaper anymore because all the news is bad. Did you ever hear people say that? Well, you've got good news for them. And whenever someone says to you, well, the news on TV is so bad, or don't watch it anymore, the news in the papers are so bad, or don't read it anymore, you can tell them, I've got good news for you. You can be saved from your sins forever. You can be set free from sin and Satan. And you can live forever with God and His people. Good news, your sins can be pardoned as you come to Jesus. Good news. And you've got the wonderful privilege of telling this good news, of communicating it. And that's our great purpose in this world today. So I ask you tonight, how beautiful are your feet? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Are you one who uses your feet to bring good news to those who need to hear it? And in order to go to people, to communicate the gospel, we use our feet. We walk, and then we talk, and we tell them of Jesus. But are your feet beautiful tonight? I hope every one of us has beautiful feet because we're going to people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So hear them in the middle of the Old Testament, which is all about Jesus, as we said this morning. The gospel first proclaimed in Eden, proclaimed to Abraham, to Moses, and all the prophets. Here it is in Isaiah. Good news. There is salvation. That good news must be communicated. And you and I who know the gospel and have been saved through the gospel are the ones who need to tell the gospel. May God help us then to do it. And may God give us beautiful feet. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we're so thankful tonight that there is a gospel to tell. We're thankful that we can use our time and our labor and our energy to make this gospel known. May it be in all our hearts the most important thing that we can do with our lives, to communicate this good news that there is a Savior and all who need Him can come to Him. And we pray then that You might give us beautiful feet that will be occupied bringing good news to those who haven't yet heard it, to those who need this Savior. We ask that You'll help us, and this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll close tonight from the Trinity Hymnal once again, the Blue Trinity Hymnal. Hymn number 370. Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. The tidings. Bear the news to every land. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command. We heard the joyful sound. We spread the tidings all around. We bear the news to every land. We communicate the gospel. 370. Thank you. gracious God, what a message we have. Jesus saves. Encourage us, inspire us, motivate us, move us by your Spirit with beautiful feet to bring this good news to all who need to hear it. May Jesus Christ be greatly exalted as people are brought to him. Use us, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide. Amen.